Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we discuss a matter affecting communities and families in our region and across the country, the opioid epidemic. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 130 Americans die every day from an opioid overdose, and the number of overdose deaths involving opioids increased sixfold between 1999 and 2017. Here to discuss the topic, Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple and Kevin Connolly, the executive director of Hope House, a residential recovery program in New York's Capital Region. Our guests are not medical experts, but they do have experience dealing with the societal impacts of addiction. Therefore, this show will explore the factors surrounding the opioid epidemic. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we discuss the opioid epidemic and the societal factors surrounding the issue. In the studio with us are Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple and Kevin Connolly, the executive director of Hope House, a residential recovery program in New York's Capital Region. Sheriff Apple oversees more than 700 employees of the county's full-service law enforcement agency, which includes an emergency medical services or paramedic unit. The Albany County Sheriff's Correctional Facility is one of the largest county correctional facilities in New York. It has a maximum of 1,043 beds. The average daily population has exceeded 600 inmates over the past year. Founded in 1967, Hope House offers an intensive therapy program for adults and teens impacted by chemical dependency. It also operates an outpatient clinic as well as community-based services. Altogether, Hope House cares for hundreds of clients each month. Now, remember, our guests are not medical experts. They do have experience dealing with the societal impacts of addiction. Therefore, this show will explore the factors surrounding the opioid epidemic rather than the medical facets of the addiction issue. Sheriff Craig Apple and Kevin Connolly, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
If you have a question for our guests today, the number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Let's start with Sheriff Apple, just so we can get a sense of the scope of what we're dealing with here, at least in Albany County. How many people you deal with who come into your facility every month are addicted to opioids?
Well, it's a tricky question because a lot of folks that are coming in, almost everybody that's coming in, are either directly or indirectly related to opioids. And what I mean by that is folks are coming in, are addicted directly, and they're out there on the street selling for their own personal habit, or they're out there smashing car windows and grabbing pocketbooks and GPSs and things of that nature to sell to feed their habit. So unfortunately, you know, I would say over half of them at this point that are coming in are addicted. We have an in-house treatment program that we started back in 2015 that's been super successful, great recidivism.
Tell us about that.
So I reached out, and I have I have Oasis, and I have a local provider called Addictions Care Center of Albany as a treatment provider, and there it provides counseling services. And we ask people to come in if they want to voluntarily basically go on to what we call the SHARP wing, which is the Sheriff's Heroin Addiction Recovery Program. They get placed down there. So we've put about 400 to 500 through the program. We have a recidivism rate of last week as of 13.9%, which is extremely low. And when you're talking about one of the highest recidivism rates when it comes to crimes, mostly is those who are addicted.
What's the average recidivism rate?
About 42%.
So that's fairly successful.
I think it's super successful. And, you know, it's all evidence based. And it's helping people. It's saving lives. And we've actually morphed that into a medically assisted treatment program as well.
And who funds that?
The medically assisted treatment program is a collaborative effort through Conifer Park, Whitney Young, Department of Health, Oasis, Center for Guidance, which is our medical provider, ourselves, the county taxpayers. It's just a huge collaboration. But, you know, as of this afternoon, we've got 80 people on that program, and that's how you save lives.
Do you think that this is a model for departments across the country?
Unequivocally, yeah. Yes.
Our guest today, well, we have Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple here and Kevin Connolly, who is the executive director of Hope House. Hope House has been around since 1967. In your estimation, Kevin Connolly, is this problem getting better? Is it getting worse?
Getting worse. We're seeing Hope House operates a 20-bed adolescent program. We serve adolescents between 12 and 21 years old. And then we have multiple programs for adults. But what we're seeing is that in our adult residential programs, the primary drug of choice that people are addicted to is opiates. In our adult programs, it's over 60%. In our adolescent programs, it's a much lower number, but we're still seeing that that number is growing as the years are going on.
Now, opiates cover a wide gamut.
Heroin.
Heroin is the main?
Heroin's the main one.
And
heroin
that's because?
People are graduating to it. You know, people, I think, really are starting off with marijuana and still abusing alcohol. You know, the alcohol is still in the picture as well, and so is crack cocaine. But we're seeing as people get further along in their treatment or in their addiction, they definitely graduate to using heroin, opioids.
A number here is 800-348-2551. We're discussing opioids today, and Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple is here, as well as Kevin Connolly of Hope House. And let's jump on the phones, 800-348-2551. We start out with Ari in Passaic, New Jersey. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You're on.
All right, so my question is primarily for Sheriff Apple. Do you feel that tougher enforcement of immigration laws or perhaps reformed immigration laws would have any effect, bad or good, on the opioid crisis?
Well, that's a two-pronged question. I will tell you this. I think the immigration system definitely needs to be reformed, but I think it would have absolutely no impact on the opioid crisis that this country is plagued with at this point at all.
So it wouldn't stem the flow of opioids, in your opinion?
Not at all. A lot of these opioids are coming right in from China. They're being shipped into this country. They're coming directly in from China. I think that's where a lot of our focus needs to be, is at our points of entry. Check our ports, check our airports, things like that. These packages are coming in, and then unfortunately with fentanyl, you can tweak fentanyl very easily and create your own designer drug that will have the same, if not worse, effects as a fentanyl.
Now, that's an interesting point. You know that the main point of entry is the ports, and it's coming in from largely China or other places. You know this. Why can't we stop it?
Well, I'm just a sheriff.
Well, I know you, but what I'm saying is, if you know it, presumably other law enforcement knows
it. I mean, there's all kinds of disguises and masking of packages and things of that nature. I mean, it's easy for me to sit here on Monday morning quarterback it. I'm sure they're doing everything they can do, but that's where it's coming in. I mean, we've had dealers tell us this is where it's coming in. A couple years ago, we arrested a fella out of Brooklyn who was bringing, you know, a pound and a half of pure heroin from Brooklyn to Albany, New York, every couple of days, and sending $25,000 every day to day and a half back down to Brooklyn. So we know where it's coming from.
That's a massive amount of money.
It's a massive amount of heroin.
Right. But I'm saying this is such huge business. Mm-hmm. Can't you track the money?
Well, we've tried. I mean, you know, this is the epitome of the war on drugs, which we've lost, you know, years and years ago. And again, I don't know if we can ever stop the flow of drugs. And that's why it's good to have partners like Kevin, where we can get treatment, prevention, awareness, recovery, and let's keep people from using it. And then we can solve the problem that side.
We are joined today by Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple and Kevin Connolly of Hope House. What is the state of the art of what you do, Kevin? Where are we at now as far as recovery?
We're working. One of the things that I think is important for people to know is that for people to get into recovery, they might be in treatment a couple different times. You know, it's not magic, you know, but I think each time when people do get into treatment, they're learning a little bit more. We're hoping to give them the skills where they're going to be able to turn around and be, you know, leave our program, utilize the necessary supports in the community, and go on in their recovery. But I think it's really important for people to know that, you know, just because somebody might enter into a treatment program and then leave prematurely or relapse, whatever, that's not an awful situation. I mean, I know it's difficult for loved ones, but we got to accept the fact that sometimes, you know, recovery might take 2, 3, 4, 5 stints. It's an ongoing process to people to maintain their recovery. What we're clearly seeing is that, you know, there's a lot of trauma that people are dealing with. There's a lot of physical abuse and emotional abuse. And so, you know, people are dealing with a lot of difficult issues, which probably is what's leading to a lot of their addiction.
The number to call here on this program, it's a call-in program, is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Kevin Connolly oversees the Hope House, which is an intensive therapy program for adults and teens founded in 1967. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple also here. Let's jump back, take another call or two before the first break. And Kevin in Albany. Kevin, you're on.
Hi. Hey, first of all, I want to say thank you to Sheriff Apple for, you know, giving help instead of just jail. You know what I mean? Because I'm a recovered addict, 13 plus years from heroin. Mine is a question / comment. This is my belief, and tell me if you think if this is possible. I kind of feel like it's some kind of terrorist plot, because 20 years ago, heroin was $25 a bag in Albany, and it was 40% pure. Now it's 90%, and it's down to $10. And with 9/11, it took them 20 years to pull that off. If this keeps going the way it's going, who's going to run our country in 40, 50 years?
Sheriff Apple.
Do you ever?
I don't want to cut you off. Well, I don't think this is a terrorist plot or anything to that effect. And I totally agree with you that years ago, when I first started out in law enforcement, heroin was $25 a bag. And now, you know, a few years ago in Albany, you could get it for $5 a bag. Now it has crept up a little bit to $12, $13, $14, depending on where you are or the potency of it. But again, a lot of the heroin, which is not a synthetic, it's coming in from Afghanistan into Mexico, goes from Afghanistan to Mexico into our country. The synthetics, which are your methadones and your suboxones and your fentanyls and carfentanyls and all of that stuff, is coming in through China. So they're two different. They're similar but different, and potency is massively different. I can't say that this is a plot or anything to that effect. I can just tell you that it's very potent now. Years ago, you had to shoot this up via syringe, basically, to get the high you were seeking. Now you can snort it, smoke it, shoot it up, whatever you want to do, and get an extremely, extremely dramatic effect from it.
Kevin, thank you for the call. We have to take a quick break here. We have Sheriff Craig Apple here of Albany County and Kevin Connolly of Hope House. We'll be back with more of your calls at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple is here and Kevin Connolly of Hope House. And before we jump back on the phones, let's talk about fentanyl for a minute. What we see in the newsroom crossing the wire every day is so-and-so died of an overdose of fentanyl. And the way it appears to us is it's so powerful that it's fatal often. And why would a capitalist drug dealer want to sell something that would kill his clients?
Well, I'll address this if I may, please, Ray. I think what you're seeing is that the drug dealers are pretty smart. They have figured out a way to turn around and give people a bigger high. I use this example pretty regularly. You know, you can go to one place and get a cup of coffee for 99 cents. You go to another place, get a cup of coffee for $4. You know, what am I getting out of that $4 cup of coffee? I must really like that. So that's basically what the drug dealers are doing. They're adding enough fentanyl into it to give people a big enough high where the buyer is going to come back and search out for that drug dealer.
So it does not always kill.
No, it doesn't always kill. It doesn't always kill. But what you don't know is the person who's using that is how much fentanyl is in that.
So that you're that becomes spinning the wheel. Problem. It's a roulette wheel.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And this is, Craig, this is a synthetic?
Fentanyl is, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And when did this start? Now, you've been in law enforcement how long?
33 years.
And how? When did we start seeing synthetics of this nature on the scene?
You got to remember, fentanyl's always been used in hospitals and everything else. I mean, and don't get me wrong. You always fentanyl has some good has a good purpose in this world. I mean, people are in pain, and you need that to manage pain. It's just, you know, moderation.
Yeah.
And these folks on the outside are now. They're taking your fentanyl and they're mixing it with heroin, or they're shooting straight up with fentanyl, or they're mixing it with another designer or car fentanyl, which is like an elephant tranquilizer. And listen, praise be to God, I've never been addicted. But what I'm told is from the very first high is the most euphoric experience in the world. And you're always chasing that. And that's where you'll hear chasing that dragon.
Yeah.
So folks always want to get something better. I mean, two people in a car, one shoots up and dies. The other person wants that heroin because it must be the best out there, or that fentanyl because it must be the best out there.
You mean during the break you told a horror story. Can you repeat that on the air?
Yeah. So, you know, it was probably 10 days ago at this point, but young girl coming down the state highway, sees a car parked literally in the middle of the road, pulls up alongside of it, and all three are appear to be unconscious. Dials 911. Our medic gets there. All three are overdosing. One was pretty much dead. You know, she has two hits of Narcan on her person, hits the two that, you know, she knew she had a shot of saving, hits them with the Narcan, starts to bring them back. Ambulance shows up, hits the person with no pulse, gets him back. So all three now are breathing. They get transported to the hospital. Now, using Narcan is very dangerous because you've just woken up a sober addict. And they were high. You've just taken away their buzz. Now they are stone cold sober and angry. More times than not, they're swinging, they're flailing their arms.
Really?
Yes. So
wait, hold it. Narcan? Completely, in addition to waking up someone who is near death, completely makes them sober like that?
Yes, but if you don't get medically treated, you can overdose again. Some, depending on, you know, the size of you and your body and your metabolism and everything else, you can overdose again. So you need to get medically treated. So the person who was driving that car was taken down to the hospital, released. He actually was also charged with driving while ability impaired. And unfortunately overdosed and died 2 days later.
And forgive me, he was released.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and that's the way, and, I mean, you're good with that?
Well, it's not a matter of me being good with it. It's, you know, we can't hold them for any, there's no criminal charge. There's nothing saying that we can't release them. Our goal is, obviously, as you just had a near-death experience, you know, you need help.
Yeah.
And let's get you into a place that Kevin runs. Let's get you into, get you treatment.
But you can't force that?
Can't force that, no. And the bottom line is it's not going to do anybody any good to force it, because that person's going to want to have to help himself or herself, or you're doing no good. Putting them in there, they're going to play the game. They're going to manipulate you. They're going to get released, and they're going to go overdose with the same amount that they've been using, and then they're going to die for sure.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Kevin Connolly is with Hope House, and Craig Apple is Albany County Sheriff. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Andrew on the Taconic Parkway. Andrew, you're on.
How you doing there? I want to, first of all, commend Sheriff Apple and Kevin Connolly for their efforts that they are making in this war, so-called war that we have on the addiction of drugs. I remember it wasn't too long ago when you went into Albany County Jail, and if you was a heroin addict going through withdrawal, you couldn't get an aspirin for the pain that you were in. And it is a very debilitating state. No one wants to be in that state that they are in. Addiction is a very funny thing. And what I'm interested in knowing from both of these gentlemen is their opinion on the way that society separates addicts into classes like they do in just about every other area. And what I mean by that is that I've been into some treatment areas in my life, facilities that wasn't anyone in there but professional people. And they, more or less, did not or were not encouraged to deal with, for lack of a better word, the average addict.
Okay.
I would like to know what your comments is about that type of treatment.
All right.
I believe.
Let's start with Kevin.
People have to be given the opportunity to get into recovery. You know, it's as simple as that. There's a lot of different programs out there. There's some very expensive ones, you know, that have a high monthly fee. You know, the programs that Hope House offers is working with all kinds of people, all different socioeconomic categories. But to also, I think it's important that we're having this conversation. As awful as it is when I open up the newspaper and I see the obituaries and I see, you know, young people and, you know, and they talk about in the obituary about, you know, died to the disease of addiction. You know, it's tough to read. It's tough to hear. But I think we've got as a society to get real about this. You know, years ago, we used to turn around and say, if we talk to our kids about safe sex, it's going to make them promiscuous. I mean, that was a pretty big topic. We've got to be out here talking to our kids about this. Prevention is key. You know, we've got to be giving people information about this because, you know, we can't let people continue to go down the path of their addiction because it gets harder and harder and harder the farther they go down this road.
You know, that's a great point. Craig Apple, I know that you guys will do a lot of outreach and education of the kids, DARE programs and whatnot. Right. Tell us a little about that.
Well, obviously we have DARE. We also have a program called Choices, which is a building out in Altamont. And we bring kids out there, high schoolers, and we explain to them the devastating effects of drinking and driving, distracted driving, obviously opioid use, marijuana, you name it. But what we've found a lot of success in is we have a bus that was donated by CDTA. And we've taken that bus and we've turned all the seats around facing backwards. We put a jail cell in the back. Bed, bathroom, sink, you name it. And what we do is we have a little yellow footprint. So you get on the bus, you see the first table, marijuana, alcohol, and tobacco, gateway drugs. Debated all day. I've seen this for a long time. It's gateway drugs. And signs for help. If you don't get signs for help, you follow the footprints to the next table. In that table, we have your hardcore methamphetamine, MDMA, ecstasy, bath salts, opioids, crack cocaine, you name it. And signs for help. If you don't get help, follow it. And if you're fortunate enough to live, you go into the jail cell. And then I call Kevin and I ask him if he has a young individual that would be willing to come with me and speak to a group of high schoolers. And we pick that young man up or young woman up and we bring her and he tells his story. Hey, how was you? I was the captain of the football team and I tore my ACL. And I walked out of the hospital with a 50-gallon pail of Percocet or hydros or whatever. Or I started with marijuana and I was sexually abused as a child. And in order to mask my pain, I started with marijuana. And then I moved from marijuana to heroin and then from heroin to fentanyl, whatever the case may be.
Does it work? Does this program work?
Listen, if I can save one kid, I call it a success. But yes, to answer your question, I think it does. A lot of these kids come in with their pants down a little bit and their hats all crooked. And then they start hearing that, my God, this could happen to me. Or, oh, whoa, I didn't think, you know, this kid was a football player. I'm a football player. Yeah. This woman was a cheerleader. I'm a cheerleader. So it can happen to anybody. It doesn't discriminate. And that's what people need to know.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple is here and Kevin Connolly of Hope House. And let's go back to the phones. Jim in East Bern. Jim, you're on.
Hey, thanks for the show and thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if either one of your guests sees a connection between the rise in drug abuse and the rise in homeless people on the street. And if so, has anybody approached these folks that are on the busy intersections with signs in their hands and tried to give them some help?
All right, who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'm certainly seeing those people. Yeah, do I think that there's a correlation between what we're dealing with the homeless population and, you know, with the opioid problem? Yeah, I really do. I mean, I think you've got a lot of people out there that are dealing with some pretty serious mental health issues that aren't getting services. I think we've absolutely got to take a look at that. You know,
so they're self-medicating, absolutely. Pre-existing psychological issues.
At Hope House, you know, not only are we hiring clinical social workers and CASACs, which is a credential which somebody receives. It's Certified Alcohol Substance Abuse Counselor, which is a credential through New York State OASIS. But, you know, we have mental health coordinators and we have an adolescent psychiatrist on staff. You know what I mean? So, you know, we have to be treating people from with their addiction, you know, with their cravings, but we also have to be looking at their mental health issues and the trauma that they've experienced. It's all of it. And we've got to treat the whole person with this, families, the whole bit. It can't just be, it's not just one area that we're working on. It's multiple areas with these people.
Well, Jim, I mean, Kevin, you said this problem is getting worse. How do you make it better? Does it spiral out of control until everybody's at rock bottom?
I guess if, not to be a wise guy, but I don't know if I can't go down that road. I can't allow myself to go down that road. I can tell you this, I'm not seeing that things are getting better. I am very glad to see that we're doing more from a prevention standpoint. I think what the sheriff has done with the bus is a very creative thing. I've seen that bus in lots of different areas. We've got to be out there talking to people about this stuff.
Is education enough when the supply continues to, if not grow, certainly stay steady?
I think it's difficult when people get into that late term, that life, a long line of addiction. You know, they've got a lot of physical health issues and mental health issues, you know, but we have to give them the opportunity to find recovery. We've got to devote the resources to do that. You know, we have to do that. We can't give up on people. But, you know, I think we'd have a lot more success if we could kind of stem this at the tide earlier on.
And how do you do it, Craig?
Well, let me just address a couple real quick points. The folks that are at the intersections with the signs, they're not all fighting addiction.
They're professionals.
Exactly. I was just going to say, yeah. I've stopped many times and said, hey, listen, the mission's right down the road. I can take you down, get you, you know, three hot meals, place to stay. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good, man. I'm good. They want your money. Yeah. All right. And there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help. The men and women that work for me will help anybody and get you housing and get you transportation and get you treatment and recovery if you need it. But so don't always be blinded by, you know, the folks that are out there on the intersections.
That's a good point. The number here is 800-348-2551. But just talked to Kevin. Kevin said it's not getting better. Yet there would be the appearance that there is a more enlightened approach among law enforcement and counseling and mental health and doctors. Why then, Craig, is it not getting better?
Well, it's not getting any better because the drugs are just flowing in. Listen, I'm hoping, my goal is to really focus on a lot of our young individuals. Yes, we're pushing treatment and recovery every single day, but I really hope and pray that the young kids, we can get to them and keep them from trying it, keep them from making that devastated mistake at a party on a Friday night of taking an edible, and then who knows where it leads.
Yeah.
And even mentioning that, there's been some horrific incidents throughout the state regarding fentanyl dressed, disguised as Smarties, overdosing, things like that. I mean, people are doing a lot of really crazy stuff out there. And, you know, I have three young boys. Well, you know, they're not young anymore, but raising young kids, like in the early teens and even, you know, your preteens, I'd be petrified as a parent.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. You know, I've got a few of those myself, and it's tough.
It's scary. Yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551, and let's go back to the phones here. Who's been waiting the longest? Looks like it's Bruce in East Greenbush. Bruce, you're on.
Hi, folks. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to dig in a little bit more on Sheriff Apple's statement that marijuana, among others, is a gateway drug, and I was looking to ask Mr. Connolly if he has an opinion on that and whether or not there's any data from any of the states that have legalized marijuana as a recreational use that would support that conclusion, whether it's a causation thing or just a correlation. So I was hoping both can comment.
Let's go
on
Kevin
that.
First. Kevin, I think you also said you thought it was a gateway drug.
Yeah, I'll give you some statistics from 2018. Now, this is specific to Hope House. As I said in the beginning, we have a 20-bed adolescent program, and we're working with kids 12 to 21 years old. The primary drug of choice in that adolescent program is marijuana at 58%. Opioids is 13%. When you go to our adult residential program, it's completely switches. So that adult residential program is working with anybody from 21 years old and up. The primary drug of choice in that program is 60% is opioids, 2% is marijuana, and 18% of that is alcohol. And in our adolescent program, alcohol is only 2%. So you tell me. I mean, you know, our adolescent program has got a very small amount of these kids that are abusing heroin. And most of them at that point, you know, their primary drug of choice is marijuana. But as people get older, you know, it's a much different situation.
But could that number be skewed because those kids who may be doing heroin or opioids are still at home with mommy and daddy?
Could be. Or could those numbers be skewed because of the fact that maybe people got into recovery? Hmm. Maybe people at 14, 15, 17 years old turned around and got into recovery and they didn't stay on that path of addiction.
All right, Craig, I'll give you 45 seconds and then we'll take a quick break here.
You know what? I struggle with the marijuana. Listen, a lot of the young individuals that I take out on the road to talk to school children, to talk to high schoolers, to talk to college students, all got started with marijuana. And, you know, it's very hard for me to say that it's not a gateway when all these young kids tell me now that they're fighting addiction for the rest of their life. They'll be in recovery and got started with marijuana. You know, the whole legalization is a whole nother topic, but in 45 seconds, that's not going to happen.
All right. Well, I'm not going to let you off the hook, but I may not after the break. The number is 800-348-2551. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple is here, and Kevin Connolly, the Executive Director of Hope House, will be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551. Kevin Connolly is Executive Director of Hope House, a residential recovery program in New York's Capital Region. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple is here as well. We talk about the opioid crisis, and the number once again is 800-348-2551. Very quickly, Sheriff Apple, we let you off the hook on the legalization of marijuana. But we've done shows on this before, and it's a very popular topic. A lot of people have opinions on both sides. In a minute, before we go to the next call, where do you stand?
All right. So I'm very torn on this, only because when you run a correctional facility, you see young individuals coming in for simple charges as possession of marijuana, and they're in there because, A, they can't afford to get, you know, they can't afford to get out. And you see them coming in, and then you see them trying to file for college, and they can't get loans and things of that nature because of a simple marijuana arrest. So those are the folks that I want to concentrate on and try to help. But then, of course, when I leave work and go up to one of these heroin forums that we hold, and you see these young kids coming in that are addicted, that got started on marijuana, it really sets you back a little bit. But ultimately, we need to do something. I think in its current form that was proposed, I think is unacceptable. I think everybody in the state will agree it's somewhat unacceptable. We need to modify that a little bit, take a few more preventions. I think law enforcement needs to have a seat at the table to come up with a law that's going to keep people safe and also allow people to exercise their rights.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Marianne in Albany. Marianne, you're on.
Hi. I was just calling to find out what you thought about Suboxone. I feel like it's just putting more opiates out on the street.
All right. First, we'll go to Sheriff Apple, and then we'll go to Kevin Connolly.
Well, ma'am, I didn't disagree with you for the longest time. Now I would disagree with you. I was never a proponent.
Really?
Yes, I was never a proponent of methadone or Suboxone. In the jail, in our treatment program, we use a product called Vivitrol. It's a non-narcotic. It was created in the 70s for alcoholics. I thought it would be a miracle drug. And a couple of local advocates kept on me and kept sending me performance-based data about Suboxone and methadone and Suboxone and methadone. And I broke down this year. And and created a medically assisted treatment inside our jail. We've had 80 people on it. 67 of them, I believe, are on Suboxone, and it's working. And
you misunderstand me. I'm 100% for a medically aided everything. I really feel like we scapegoat our drug addicts. I think it's horrible. I think these drugs aren't fair. I'm just wondering, I feel like the pharmaceutical companies are pumping out these drugs that are more addictive, and that it's just more of what we've seen already.
Well, these
but in a nicer face.
All right.
And apparently the Suboxone it takes people longer to get off of it.
Okay.
It creates I'm coming from that place, but
gotcha.
From a loving place.
Gotcha. Go ahead, Craig, and then we'll go over to Kevin.
Well, I don't know the breakdown of the drug. I can just tell you that lives are being saved as a result of it, and we're weaning them off of heroin and eventually phasing them down on the Suboxone, and then hopefully they can live a clean and productive life like everybody dreams of.
But you can get hooked on Suboxone,
people really
right?
We have gotten off of it, though.
Yeah, okay. So Hope House prescribed Suboxone, and we were one of the first outpatient clinics in the area to do that. We do have people, we do prescribe it, and then we do have people that, you know, we titrate down and they do come off of it. Mm. You are seeing that they will come off of it.
Well, Marianne, thanks for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Mercedes in Western Massachusetts, you're on.
Thanks for taking my call. My comment is in regard to the for-profit substance abuse recovery industry and how it limits addicts that maybe don't have private insurance versus having Medicaid, or that's essentially what my comment has to do with. A cost of $30,000 to do substance abuse treatment is not in the cards for many addicts.
All right, you make a valid point. Who wants to go first?
Yeah.
Let's go to Kevin.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Let me say this. You know, we're fortunate enough to be in New York State. They put a lot of resources to addiction services. Having said that, it's a struggle. I mean, you know, I'm constantly trying to figure out how a way that I can raise the wages that I'm paying to my staff. It's hard to attract and retain people. I provide a lot of services for people on a sliding fee scale. You know, I think it's a challenge. And I can tell you, I regularly have a conversation with a loved one or a parent or a family member that is struggling with that exact thing. You know, insurance companies, you know, they're probably not as generous with the length of stays that
about anything,
like to,
by the way.
True. I'd like to see.
So. All right. Well, Mercedes, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Kevin Connolly is executive director of Hope House, and Sheriff Craig Apple is here from Albany County as well. And let's see. We go over to Bill in North Adams. Bill.
Yes, thanks for taking my call and a great discussion. One side of it that you guys, I don't know if you read about it. I read about it a couple of years ago about the China reason for supplying, you know, this illicit stuff from synthetic marijuana, the carfentanil. Is when we sided with the Brits in the 1800s with the Opium Wars, they call it a century of dishonor, which we broke the dynasty. We took all their treasures from ivory to arts and so forth, and that's their side of it. They're not really changing the flow.
So it's our
whether
fault.
Trump's there or not. So I thought I'd let you guys go.
Okay.
Have a good day, and thanks again for the great talk. Bye.
Oh, that's very interesting. Thanks for the call, Bill. The number here is 800-348-2551. And now we go to Sue in Saratoga. Hello, Sue. You're on.
Hi, good afternoon. This is wonderful to put out to the listeners because so many people are so naive to the whole drug world, but I am a registered nurse who has worked in rehabs for the last 6 years, and I'm also a mother of a recovering heroin addict who's been on drugs since the age of 13. She's now 32, in and out of multiple rehabs. And my comment is that in doing intakes, when I admit people into programs, I'm finding the age that they pick up and start using drugs is anywhere from the age of 9 to 13. And a lot of them are telling me it's because of coping skills and social anxiety. So my concern is I think they aren't being scared straight with education. I think it has to enter the school systems very early because these kids are not afraid and they're looking for an escape from their pain, whether it's mental, physical, social anxiety. It seems to be that we aren't targeting why is this not getting better? Why are people picking up and using drugs to cop out? I mean, I heard a TED Talk on rejection therapy. Every kid should learn about rejection early in life and how to cope with it. It's just kind of my thought. I have struggled watching my daughter die every day to this disease because you lose a part of them. The chronicity of drug addiction ruins the brain. She was born with an addicted brain. I saw childhood like traits that were compulsive rituals, and a lot of this stems from mental health. Okay. And I think we have to do the intervention a lot earlier in the schools. It's just kind of my thought. Thanks. And I'm just wondering what you think about that.
Thanks, Sue. The DARE program begins very early, though, does it not?
Yeah, the DARE program begins early, but I think we've gone above and beyond the DARE program, and I don't disagree. I think we need to be in the schools at a very early age. I also know that some of the other treatment providers in the Capital District area are in the schools. There's a young lady, Jen Vitkus, for Addictions Care Center, is in. They do marvelous work with the young kids. They have poster contests about not using drugs and not drinking and not smoking and staying away from marijuana and things like that, and then they bring them in and they give them trophies and different prizes, and there's a lot of that goes on. I have a fella, Gary Holly, who works for me, that's in the schools constantly.
Was he a baseball player?
Basketball. Yeah, he's like 9 feet tall.
Way back when?
Yes, way
yeah.
back when.
Yeah.
And I think his son is a baseball player.
Yeah, I thought so.
But he works for me, and he does a lot of, you know, he's like a giant going into these elementary schools, and he talks to the kids about the same. So we are working hard to get in there. We got to just keep the fight up. We got to just be vigilant and continue to get in there. And I don't disagree. The younger we can get in there, the better. But I also want to point out that there's schools that don't want us in there because they don't have a problem. So they think.
Really? Do you want to name names?
Oh, I'd love to. But I'd
you're
really
not
going to
do it, are
awful,
you?
I'd get some awful ramifications
all
for
right,
that.
Fair enough. How about you, Kevin?
I would say to Sue, the caller, I appreciate her honesty and her candor. Sue, I agree with you. You know, I had a conversation with the sheriff a little while ago before we went on the air. You know, I don't think we are giving kids the coping skills that they need, you know, and I think that we have to explain to kids that, you know, some days you're going to have a good day. Some days you're going to have a bad day. Some days it's sunny out. Some days it's rainy. Some days, you know, all those different parts of life. I don't think we're doing a good enough job with that. And I think kids are looking for something to turn around and just kind of numb things. And I think we got to take a solid look at that.
Is society that much worse, or are we raising a generation of cream puffs
well,
who can't handle, you know, any kind of adversity?
I don't know. I'll leave that for somebody else to decide, but I think we're probably not doing a good enough job of letting our kids know that, you know, not everybody's going to be on the baseball team and not everybody's going to
not everyone gets a participation trophy.
Well, and with that said, you know what? Law enforcement gets blamed. Schools get blamed. Let's start right in our houses.
Yeah.
Let's be parents and let's watch our kids. Let's not try to be a best friend, but let's get back to being a parent.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple is here. Kevin Connolly of Hope House. And now we go over to John in Schenectady. John.
Hi. Can the two guests give us their best estimate on the percentage of opioid addicts who get their start through a medical prescription?
I couldn't give you that information. I don't have that information.
No estimate at all. Is it small? I mean, half, 10%?
You know, I think part of the problem early on was contributed to by medical professionals. But I can't tell you that I think that's still the case, because I think really what's happening now is, you know, prescribers are very, very strict about what they're prescribing and the quantities and the amounts. So I think that there's an emphasis on not over prescribing. But having said that, you know, and the sheriff talked about this earlier on, you know, fentanyl still serves a medical purpose. It just doesn't serve that purpose when it's mixed in somebody's backyard with heroin, you know. So I think that medical providers right now are very, very, very cautious, you know, about how they're going about prescribing things. I don't think that that's where we are today.
All right, John, thank you very much for the call. And let's see here. We go now to Eric in LaGrangeville. Eric, you're on.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I watched the documentary recently about addiction, and one of the things that stuck out to me is the author mentioned that addiction was really just a byproduct of trauma. And I wanted to know how you guys felt about how we deal with things like childhood trauma that are really out of our reach because they happen in closed doors. And I'm in a school district here, and I see it all the time, and I just don't know how we reach the kids who need it most before it's too late. I can hang up and let you in.
Okay,
so thanks,
Eric. Go ahead. Craig.
I'm going to tell you something. This is something that I was kind of blown away about a year ago. We had some senators and some assembly members into our sharp wing at the jail, which is our treatment center inside the walls. And one person raised his hand and indicated he told his story that he was sexually abused when he was younger, and he turned to marijuana and then escalated into more powerful drugs to mask his trauma. And I was like, wow, I never really thought of that. And then another person raised his hand and indicated the same. And little did I know that 75% of the men on the tier at that given time were there, were addicts that were masking trauma. Mm-hmm. Not from a doctor, nothing to that effect. We're masking trauma, mostly sexual abuse as a child. And I was really shocked. And I'm like, you know, that's sad that you got to keep that inside of yourself for all these years and turn to drugs to try to get the help.
Without getting into another topic entirely, but can you believe all that you heard? I mean, at a certain level of addiction, you're manipulating, right?
Right.
So, I mean, maybe that percentage is not as high as you think.
I don't know. These folks are in jail. They've got nothing to lose, you know, and they were opening themselves up and giving their stories. And yeah. I don't find any reason to believe they were lying, but I give them a credit for you know, having the bravery to tell their story that they were a victim when they were a child. And here they are inside a jail where you're supposed to be all rough and tough.
Yeah.
And you've got guys saying that they were sexually abused.
Now let's quickly go over to Denise in North Adams. Denise, we have about a minute here. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go quick. I'm in my 60s, living in North Adams, where I grew up. And I remember during the school time when Hope House first opened, and we did a field trip to the big city to go and see that as a drug lesson. And I don't know why it affected me the way it did, but I have never smoked marijuana in my life. I've never done any, you know, any kind of drugs. I kept always thinking about that visit that we took there. And also, one of the things that bothers me now is I'm thinking, I'm in my 60s. I've never smoked marijuana, and now I can go buy it for and not get charged.
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering, oh, should I do it or shouldn't I?
Oh, God. Well, that's another show. I don't know.
Yeah. Let me, I would say come back and visit Hope House. You know, let's come take a look at what we're doing. And for what it's worth, if you've gone this long without trying it, don't do it now.
That's where we'll have to leave it, gentlemen. Thank you for being here. Support comes from Vermont Coffee Company. Organic coffee in the brown paper bag. Available at local grocers. Vermont Coffee Company. Coffee roasted for friends. Merritt Bookstore, Millbrook. An independent book on toy store in the heart of Millbrook. Offering books for gardening and outdoor fun. Gifts for graduation, baby showers, weddings, birthdays. MerrittBookstore.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association. Helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. And SUNY New Paltz Department of Theater Arts presenting Life's Only Valuable Emotion by student Jillian Feuerstein. Parker Theater, May 3rd through 5th, newpaltz.edu/theater. Thanks once again to Albany County Sheriff Craig Apple and Kevin Connolly of Hope House for joining us today. And thank you for listening. Great calls today. And we really appreciate it. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Amber Sickles. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, boy, are you lucky, because tomorrow, avian expert Rich Guthrie returns to answer your questions about birds. birds. Stand by now for the book show.